And you, I apologize. Amen. All right. Tonight, we're going to be talking about correcting the attitude and the altitude of prayer. Should I say that again? The attitude and the altitude of prayer. We're going to be reading tonight from the book of Psalms 100 chapter. Beautiful Psalm of David. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's only 5 verses long. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you. Bless the words that we share tonight, fresh from the throne of God. Touch our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have to start out with a story about a buzzard and a monkey. It seems that the buzzard was really good at flying. He was just super good at it. And he was talking to his friend, the monkey, one day and telling him how wonderful it was to get up above the earth, to look down on everything, to see the sights that were beyond the way you could see them on the ground. And the monkey said, man, I'd love to see that. The buzzard said, climb on my back, hold on, I'll take you up, let you look around, bring you back. So the monkey did. And up and up and up and up and up the buzzard went. And finally, he thought, well, I'm going to give this monkey a little something to think about. So he starts swooping and doing these dives and rolls and all this kind of stuff. And as he kept doing that, the monkey kept gripping his neck tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. The buzzard finally said, you're going to choke me to death. He said, let up. He said, I will just as soon as you straighten up and fly right. Amen. So, with that little mythical story, we shall get into our message tonight. This is about straightening up and flying right. Amen. The term altitude and attitude especially the word attitude. Of course, altitude is an aeronautical term. Both of these words have an aeronautical significance. I'll get to that later on. The title, Correcting the Altitude and Attitude of Your Prayer. Okay? Prayer, of course, as you know, is the key to accessing your spirit into the presence of God. Simple, but true. It is through prayer that we enter and dwell in the presence of God. It should never be a burden to us. And it will not be unless we have the wrong attitude about prayer. I want you to think for just a second. I know not everybody thinks the same, but how would you appraise your attitude about prayer? How do you view it? I'm going to ask some questions. I want you to think about them. Do you see prayer as a way of perhaps controlling God? There are many people who do. They think that their prayers control God. Our prayers never control God. I know people who look at prayer. The only thing I could think of when I wrote this was how many of you like to go to the dentist? Not one person here. I don't mind going to the doctor's office. I sure don't like to go to the dentist's office because when I'm in there, I've got one thought in my mind. How quickly can I get out of here? Amen. Amen? I'll bear it. I'll do what I have to do to get out of here. If you got a drill and fill, get it done. Shoot me, push me back, stuck my mouth full of stuff, just get it done. Or I don't have to come back here for a long time. I know you're necessary. And you may be a friend of mine. My dentist, when I see him, he goes out of his way to speak to me. He stopped me one day. We were over at Lowe's. He stopped me and asked my advice on some building material. He's really a nice guy. I just don't like what he does. Amen. But because of him, I still have my teeth. Amen. Praise God. But some people think of prayer like going to the dentist office. How quick can I get out of here? Let me say what I got to say. And I'll get back and do what I want to do. Sometimes some people look at prayer as a duty that has to be performed. Years ago, when I was privileged to be able to go to the YMCA a lot, I went there for one reason. I needed to go. I knew that if I opposed my muscles, building up muscles, it would help me. I knew that. And I shall not mention a little redhead sitting in the audience tonight. They used to come to the Y almost every day when I was there. And she'd hop on that treadmill and just go, 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 go. I saw her there a lot. Amen. Nobody here knows who I'm talking about, of course. But it wasn't something I really wanted to do. I did it for my health, okay? It was a duty to myself so I could stay fit. But it wasn't fun. that had closed that door. And your attitude about your relationship with God, if you're questioning the purpose of God in your life, if you're telling God, God, why? Give me an explanation, God, of what, you know, I just don't like what you're doing. You're going to come to a door that does not open. The children of Israel found themselves in the wilderness, and the Bible says because of the difficulty of the way. Never heard that before, have you? I thought when you walked with God, there was no more difficulties. Everything was taken care of. A lot of people believe that, but it's not so. I can give you a book, chapter, and verse for it if you want it. I want you to listen to what Paul said now. We, now, what's the word we mean? He's talking about us Christians. We. Now, the French word we means small, but that's not what he's talking about. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He said, we. And then it is implied in every part of that sentence after that. We, as Christians, face things in this world that are troubling. Yet we're not distressed. We as Christians are perplexed. We as Christians, but are not in despair. As Christians, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. As Christians, we are cast down, but not destroyed. We as Christians are always bearing about in our body the suffering of the Lord. We. He did not say, but now later on in the 20th century, all the Christians that know the Word of God are going to be exempt from this. I told you this morning, and I'll tell you again. I love the Bible, but it did not descend from heaven on the day of Pentecost. It was the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost. The Bible explains what God can do, but the Holy Spirit explains what God will do. And it's only when those two things are agreed that it works. Prayer. As we arrive into the presence of God, I have found out something about when the door is open, when you knock and all of a sudden the door comes open. And you enter into that gate and you walk into that presence, something happens. Immediately something happens. Immediately your spirit is filled with joy. joy unspeakable and full of glory. I said, joy. When I see Christians who have no joy, I think about something Isaiah said. He said, with joy, we do what? Sister Gladys, what was that? We do what? Now, wait a minute. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Is Isaiah, bless his little heart, he didn't know about wells and faucets and pumps and stuff. He didn't know about all that, did he? We would have to say, with joy, we turn the faucet on. No. He's talking about something spiritual. You're not talking about your water faucet. Amen. Did you see that little quick smile? He's talking about joy as being a bucket. And there's only one well. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I said there's only one well that I want to draw from. It is the well of the presence of God. Oh, glory. And when, oh, glory to God, when I enter the presence of God, when God opens those doors, when I come in and the Spirit of God begins to flow into my spirit, all of a sudden I'm drinking at a fountain, hallelujah, that wasn't open before. I'm drinking from waters I just hadn't been tasting that day. And my thirst, oh glory. My thirst is like finding a cold artesian well in the middle of a dry desert. And I'm drinking and I'm feeling myself with those cool waters that saturate me and sate my thirst. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? All because of the right attitude. I don't know my way into the presence of God. It's not knowing. It's following your spirit there. Your spirit is like an eagle. Let it go. Let it go. Come to that place where you know God is there. You just can't sense him. Be still and know that I am God. Somebody wanted Elisha to pray. He said, bring me a minstrel, let him play. How many of you know what ambient noise is? It's just the everyday noise all the way around you. He was in an army camp. They were beating on things. They were raising things. They were doing the things that they normally do. And said, bring me a minstrel. Drown them people out. I can't let my spirit. It is not your body that touches God. It is your spirit that touches God. You have to let your spirit go. In the spiritual realm, there is no height, nor depth, nor miles, nor space, nor distance. They that worship God shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. You have to learn, as a child of God, let your spirit go. Let it go. Close your eyes. Shut out. Shut out the world. Shut it out. Be still. Get where nothing bothers you. Turn the television off. Turn the kids off. Close the blinds. Whatever you have to do to relieve yourself of any and all distractions. And then let your spirit go. Open your hands. Do it whatever way you can. Maybe lift your hands up. Maybe stretch them out. Just whatever works for you. But let your spirit go. And oh, hallelujah. Whew. Pew, take that devil. Amen. Your spirit is exactly like a homing pigeon. Glory. It knows the way home. This world is not your home. You are only here for a while. And then one day you will go home. The Bible says we are pilgrims and we're strangers in this world. We are sojourners here. Don't you mind it, but I'm just passing through. I'm going to stay with y'all for a while, but I got to tell you something. I'm just passing through. I've got a home not made with hands. And my spirit knows where home is. And it absolutely delights to land in God's pigeon coop and for God to look and say, oh, I was hoping you'd come today. Glory. I don't know about you, but I'm having the time of my life right now. And maybe there is a little message tied to your leg. That's all right. God don't mind that. 1st thing you do is say, Lord, I'm just so glad to be in your presence. I'm just so glad. Did you know nothing thrills God anymore than for one of His children to come and sit on His lap for an afternoon or two? You probably never thought of prayer like that, did you? Sitting on God's lap. That's really what it's like. When you can look up into the Father's face, lean your head over on His shoulder, say, God, I just came today because I want to tell you I love you. I love you, God. And I praise you. And I worship you for what you've done for me. The Jews like to pray three times a day. But did you know that prayer can be an all-day experience with God? Whether you're sitting on the couch, whether you're driving a car, whatever you're doing, your spirit can actually live in the presence of God. We have an invitation to come to a repast every day, to come and sit at the same table with Jesus Christ, to fellowship, to eat, to dine with Him. Hebrews 13:10 says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. There's only one altar that you could eat from in the tabernacle. It was a golden altar of showbread. And on that table was 12 loaves of a very special bread that only the priest could eat from that served the tabernacle. And Paul, as he finishes the 13th chapter, is the last chapter of Hebrews, and he just throws this in. And I say, oh, Paul, why didn't you say more about it? Oh, why did you dangle that thing in front of me? And I understood it. It is a place where I'm allowed to come. You're allowed to come. Any day, any time. And feast spiritually in the presence of God. I've told you many times, and I'll say it again. Many times when God is pouring things into my spirit, there are times I just have to get up and say, Lord, could you put it on hold for just a minute? I think I'm going to explode. Have you ever eaten too much? You thought, if I take another bite, I'm just going to blow up? I have. And the same thing happens spiritually. There are times in the presence of God when I just have to get up and walk around a little bit. Take a walk. Go do something. Because my spirit is so full, I just feel like I'm going to pop. Paul says that they have no right to eat there. That word in the Greek is a word that we are familiar with. In the Greek, there's many words for power. One of them is dunamis. In Acts 1, Jesus said, and you shall be endued with power from on high. That's the word dunamis. It's the same word we get dynamite from. It means something really strong, powerful. But the word exousia, it means authority or permission or liberty. And that's the word that's used here. The word right, it means they do not have the authority or the permission or the liberty to eat at this table. We who walk with God do have, that's the implication, that we who walk with God, we who live with God, we have the authority, the power, the permission, the liberty to feast from that table. You know what I'm eating? I don't think I've ever been invited to dinner where I regretted having to spend the time to go to the restaurant. Hello? I've always enjoyed the food. Here I'm back on this type of thing. I was on the D's a while ago, and I'm on F's. I've always enjoyed the food, the fellowship, and the fun. Somebody asked me to go out for dinner. I counted a time well spent. I have fun when I eat. I enjoy it. Praise God. I count as a joy. Prayer is a joy. It is not a religious duty. And I guarantee you, you will profit from prayer. I want to share this other thing with you. We have an altar. I'm going to use two aeronautical terms here. And I'll show you what I'm talking about in just a minute. Sometimes the hindrances to prayer, as I said, are our altitude adjustment with God. We would rather be watching our favorite TV show than praying. Or, Lord, my ball game is on. I haven't got time to watch it. Have you ever started to pray and all of a sudden there's 100 things go through your mind you need to do instead of pray? Have you ever wondered, could I make a better use of my time than spending time in prayer? It's not about praying an hour. It's not about time. We need to focus on the horizon. When you're flying, one of the most important things about flying is you need to be able to see the horizon or have instrumentation that shows you where it's at. Sometimes when you're flying, it gets cloudy out. Sometimes when you're flying, it gets dark. Sometimes when you're flying, there are things that may impair the vision of the pilot like rain. This is the word again, attitude. I told you this word attitude had two meanings. One of them is about how our spirit, the concept of our spirit with God. That's attitude. But in a plane, the word attitude has everything to do with controlling the direction of the aircraft. Whenever you have people who are going to take what they call the PPL test, which is the professional pilot's license test, they enter into a flight simulator. And this is the hardest part of their test, because they have to use instrumentation to find attitude, the attitude of the plane. Now, there are three things that can affect the attitude of a plane. They're called pull, pitch, and yaw, Y-A-W. Now, what these things are is that when you're flying, sometimes there can be something like in the air that causes the back of the plane or the front of the plane to be tilted back and forth. And whenever a plane is tilted and you don't know it, it is reducing the airfoil. This is on a fixed-wing aircraft now. I started to study flying one time, and I knew a little bit about this. It reduces the airfoil that's necessary for the plane to stay in flight. And what it does, it reduces the amount of lift under the plane's wings. And so the plane begins to start on a very slow stall, no matter how much power it's using. That plane can still stall because the plane is tilted the wrong direction. Because in doing so, it reduces the lift of the plane. Now, the second thing that can happen to a plane is called roll. And that means, now when you're up in the air, you don't know whether you're flying this way or this way. Or this way. Unless you can see the horizon. Because the horizon lays it out for you. You can lay your wings even with the horizon. You got it. That's called roll. And you may have perhaps something in the plane that's not working exactly right. And it may be causing the plane to roll very slightly, very small at first. But as it starts to roll, it can go off course. And then the last one is yaw. Now, the best way to explain that is by a bullet. Or an arrow. Either one would work. Arrow is probably better. One thing, without patting myself on the back, I'm known around here as an expert in archery. And I was for many years. When you release an arrow from the bow, the arrow goes through a contortion back and forth like that. And it causes the arrow to lose some of its speed, trying to correct itself. And that's on a regular bow. It's called the archer's paradox. Because of the sudden impact of the string pushing forward, the arrow bends back and forth. And it takes the tail feathers to straighten it up. But like I said, you lose some of your speed. So I found a way to correct that, especially on a compound bow. We did what was called the paper test. And we stood at 8 feet from a piece of regular paper, like you'd use to wrap a present with, or the heavier it was, the better. Like butcher paper. That was the best. And we would shoot an arrow directly through it. Now, when I went and looked at the target, if the point of the arrow went here and the tail feathers of the arrow went through here, the arrow was coming out to the left. If it was the opposite, if the point was here and the feathers were here, it was pitching to the right. All I had to do was adjust the center adjustment until the arrow come out and the feathers went through with exactly in line with the point of the arrow. Now that is yaw, Y-A-W. It's when something is flying straight, but it's flying a little sideways. That's yaw. And if you have a plane, especially a multi-engine plane, and one of the engines is a little bit more powerful than the other one, or pushing a little harder, it can cause the plane to turn very slightly. Still going straight, but as it turns slightly, again, the air pressure that hits the side of the plane is deflected in a way it slows the plane down and will eventually stall it. And so that's what attitude is in aeronautical terms. It is adjusting the plane to the horizon and flying that plane where it's neither rolling or yawing so that it achieves maximum lift for the minimum amount of power that it's using. I'm explaining this for a reason. If in your relationship with God you find yourself going sideways or upside down, how many of you ever thought that in your relationship with God? God, what just happened to me? I thought I was going this direction and found out I was going that direction. It ever happened? You was trying to go straight. You was trying to go right with God. But your spiritual attitude became a drag to you. And it slowed you down and eventually brought you to a stall speed. God, I got the engines wide open. I'm going as hard as I can, and I'm not going nowhere. Sound familiar? It has something to do with your attitude. 10 times out of 10, it's because you took your eyes off the horizon. spiritually speaking, the spiritual horizon is the point at which God has told you to go. And if you, in your attitude before God, decide that you want to put some of your directions in with God's direction, you are going to stall out spiritually in your relationship with God. And you're not going to know why. You're going to find yourself stalling. You know what happens to a plane when it stalls? It goes down. We find ourselves down sometimes, spiritually down, because we have tried to add to the purpose of God our own will, our own purpose, our own mind. Well, God, I was going the direction that you wanted me to go. I just put in just a little bit. It was just so much, God. Something I had to have. No. It will cause you to stall. When you could be soaring with the eagles, you're on the ground. Years ago, there was a farmer that found a little eagle that fell out of its nest. And he took it home with him. He nurtured it. He raised it. His wife began to fuss at him because he had it in the house. And he said, well, I'll just put it on the chicken coop then. So he put the eagle in the chicken coop. And if I can remember, what he said was, the eagle was the only one that got any sleep that night. Chickens didn't. They had an eagle in there with them. Who likes to eat chickens? Okay. And well, for a while, the eagle became so familiar with the chickens, he actually thought it was one. He went out in the barnyard with them. He pecked around like them. He acted like them. Even tried to imitate them. Cluck, 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 you know. Then one day when he was fully grown, he was out in the yard, the chicken yard, and he heard some. There was an eagle flying over, and the eagle was screaming like eagles do. And all of a sudden, something awakened in him. Oh, something lit up in him. He had a revelation. He wasn't a chicken. He was an eagle. He spread those wings. And in a few moments' time, he was gone. Begin to soar back and forth. He looked down that chicken coop down there. Man, I'm glad I ain't a chicken. Are you getting the message? Sometimes we live in the world so long, we think we're part of it. We're so much into it. We're eating the chicken food. We're acting like the chicken. We're smelling like the chicken. But someday, if your spirit is open, you are going to hear the call from on high. I'm about to shout again. Your spirit is going to leap. It's going to spread its wings. And it's going to rise above this world. You know what an eagle does when a storm comes? Just before a storm hits, there's an updraft comes. He spreads his wing, he catches the updraft, and he gets up there and looks down on it. And he rides those thermals, he rides those waves back and forth. And them chickens get wet. But he doesn't. He doesn't dwell in the chicken coop any longer. He dwells in the highest spots on the cliffs. And he's not afraid of falling where a chicken would be. He's not afraid of going miles above the earth. And soaring around. And seeing things so far off. A chicken could never imagine it. Do you want to be a chicken? Or an eagle? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Never, 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 never lose sight of the fact that you are a spirit in an earthly body. You're not a body that has a spirit. You are a spirit that has a body. And this world is, this chicken coop is not your home. Your home is with God forever and ever and ever. I encourage you tonight. I encourage you in the name of the Lord. Let that eagle rise up within you. Turn it loose. Let it dwell. Let it dwell in the secret place of the Most High. In the shadow of the Almighty. Let it dwell in the presence of God. Do not allow the trappings of this world. Do you think the eagle was sorry that he gave up the chicken coop. I don't. Why? Because from that moment on, he knew what true freedom was. There is no freedom like spiritual freedom. Let it go. Quit holding it back. Quit piling the things of the world on it. Quit trying to tailor it down with the things you want outside of God's will. Let your spirit free. You'll see the world far differently than you do now. Think about what the chicken saw and what the eagle saw. I'm going to close just a second, but I want you to understand this. That eagle could see to almost to eternity up there. All the chicken could see was the chicken coop, and one day he's going to lop my head off and fry me. That's what the world's going to do to you. Oh, the world can take care of you for a while, but folks, you're just in a chicken pen, and sooner or later you're going to be chicken and dumplings. That's what the devil has planned for you. But I'm telling you tonight, let your spirit go. Let it go. Let it rise up. Let it come to rest like a falcon on the arm of God. Hallelujah. I want you to understand something tonight. Today, I have given you living bread. Amen. Living bread. If you eat it, you'll be more alive than you ever were. I don't know where to stop. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. I worship you. Oh God, the words you spoke to me are so precious, so blessed, living words. May they not just touch our mind tonight, oh God, but let them release our spirit. That it may dwell in your presence. Thank you, God. In Christ we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is a tremendous, there's just an absolute tremendous anointing and presence of God in this place. If you don't sense it, I don't know what to say. Amen. If you don't sense it, your senses are off. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I love you. There is someone here tonight. You have a hiatal hernia. I see it. I see it in the spirit. And I'm telling you right now, just lift your hands up to the Lord right now. Lift them up. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I know that you have loosed this thing. I know you have, Father. And I declare it healed. In the name of Jesus, right now, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. One or more of you will come back. There's more than one person raised their hand. More than one or more of you will come back and tell me God touched you tonight. You'll know that. Hallelujah. Father, I love you. I love you, God. I thank you, God, for your beautiful presence, God. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, I love you. Thank you, Father. Just worship him. Just worship him right now. God, I love you. And I thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Right now, the Lord wants us to do something. As I was before the Lord, the Lord did not show me the person. But there's someone here tonight who has a loved one that you're related to them. You have a loved one who lives a good distance from you. And tonight, through no fault of their own, they are in danger right now. And the Lord gave me a word. Amen. Thank you, Father. The Lord just told me to intercede. And Father, I believe you to stop this thing. I believe you showed it to me to stop it. And Father, We release those words to you. Father, we bind that thing in the name of Jesus. In the next few days, you will receive word of what happened tonight. And I want you to thank God that he revealed it and took care of it. Amen. Thank God. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want to keep you much longer. I just want to say tonight, I want to ask you a question before we go. How many of you tonight are going to do your best to let your spirit go? Will you? Will you do it? Will you do your best? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn around to your neighbor and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do my best to do that. Would you? I'm going to do my best. Hallelujah. Thank God. Sherry, we're looking forward to Wednesday night. It's going to be a good time. And what are we having?
Chicken!
I knew that. I just wanted you to say it. We're not eating eagle, are we?
We are eagle.
Chicken! Thank God for the chicken. Thank you for the night. God bless you. Amen. Amen.